Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mustard and Johnson. Talk all things Boston sports with two radio legends. It's Mustard and Johnson on WEEI AM 850 and the radio.com app.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
I mean, I don't know, World Series talk, whatever. That was one of the best performances probably in the history of the World Series.
Alex was professional.
We would ask that everyone reserve judgment.
Understanding that he had made a mistake. He admitted that what he did was wrong.
For the Red Sox, going forward, they were in a difficult position. Here's Alex Cora, named in this report 11 times.
You know, it worked last year.
In some people's mind, attach an asterisk to that Red Sox championship.
Well, I just want to reiterate what we said, which is that we ask our fans to reserve judgment until the investigation is completed.
But as we stand here today, do you still believe you beat the Dodgers fair and square?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes.
Signs, everywhere are signs, at least in Houston and in Boston and maybe parts in between. 15 months after the Red Sox hoisted the World Series trophy for the fourth time in 15 years, everything seems to be crashing down, at least on Alex Cora.
John Henry will remind you that they won that fair and square.
Fair and square. Who cares if there are signs, everywhere are signs?
That was one of the worst press conferences I think I ever sat through, the one they had the other day down at Fenway Park. It was a total embarrassment. I don't know why you bother having something like that if nobody wants to say anything or they feel like they're under the commissioner's authority.
Right.
So therefore, they can't really talk about anything. Well, why? It's like having a birthday party with no cake and ice cream.
Boy, that would be nauseating for you.
It would be.
What is worse, having to go through that nightmare at the news conference earlier this week or having no Shaw's vanilla cake for your birthday?
No Shaw's vanilla cake,
okay,
by far.
Okay, I'm finally putting it in perspective.
The whole thing an embarrassment. I now say let Clemens and Bonds and everybody else in. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if people are making up their own rules, and you have managers and players and the like cheating and stealing signs. The roof's been blown off the building, and it's I don't know how they're going to fix it. But I'll tell you one thing. I'll never watch another baseball game again, trusting everything that's going on out there.
Interesting. Last week, we talked to Rob Bradford, who gave us a rundown, detailed all the specifics. And, of course, this has been extensively reported initially in The Athletic. Our old buddy Evan Drellick, along with Ken Rosenthal, you know him on Fox Television during the World Series and other broadcasts for baseball. And certainly other writers nationally and local have gone to a certain degree examining all the whys and wherefores, all the details and specifics of this scandal. But we were talking to Rob last week about it, and I don't think any of us believe that Rob Manfred would have the testicular fortitude to come down as hard as he did initially on the Astros general manager, A.J. Hinch, the manager. And as soon as that happened, we knew that Alex Cora's days in Boston, as glorious as they were in his rookie season, not so much last year, were pretty much gone. And one day later, Alex Cora was no longer the manager of the Red Sox.
Well, the thing is, not only what his time in Houston, but then he came here to Boston, and there were all kind of indications that he brought this little scheme with him. So it's sloppy. It's all over the place. And I, you know, I don't now, you know, they haven't yet. I don't understand. Why wouldn't you wait until the commissioner made a ruling and then you can determine who you want to fire or what you want to do? Right now, they have a fired manager out there and they don't even know what the ruling is.
Well, do you believe that somehow or another Alex Cora is going to be acquitted?
I have no idea. Well, who knows?
Let's not be naive. We know, and you said it very well. Gee, what a coincidence. Alex Cora was named as the bench coach in the Astros scandal from 2017. He comes over here. He brings a lot of that equipment and system and a philosophy of sign stealing to the Red Sox. They win a World Series. Is that just a coincidence? I think you have to be incredibly naive to believe that Alex Cora was not in on, if not completely masterminding,
the architect of
both
this
of
whole
both.
Thing. Yeah, and put, right. Banging. Where, has anybody heard from the drum yet? There's a drum that they were banging on.
Well, the garbage cans, yeah.
Yeah, indicating signs.
Red Sox apparently went beyond the garbage can system and got a little bit more technologically sophisticated. There we go. Now,
is this fastball or what?
Yeah. That's fastball, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is...
Who was the Houston player, that little short, stubby...
Altuve?
Yeah. Don't take my shirt off!
Well, apparently, now, of course, there's the conspiracy theorists are everywhere now. You think that the JFK assassination provided its own cottage industry of conspiracy theorists. I think this is going to be going on for a long time. I mean, everybody now has a theory about who's cheating and how they're doing it. The buzzer under Altuve's shirt. Alex Bregman, a teammate in the Astros, also apparently, allegedly, has a buzzer under his uniform signaling what the pitch is coming from the dugout or maybe in that media room where the videotape was being played. It is absolutely stunning. And these last 4 or 5 days has been really an exercise in outrage and humiliation around here. I was shocked, Larry, how Red Sox fans so quickly turned on Alex Cora. And you wonder if it was a byproduct of maybe they were vastly disappointed with last year's season. Maybe they thought that Alex Cora, for all his success in his maiden voyage as the manager of the Red Sox, that maybe the true Alex Cora stood up in that second season and, you know, that they were happy that Alex Cora left the Boston Red Sox.
See, I didn't sense that. I think people genuinely liked him. I liked him a lot.
But I'm hearing the response. I'm talking about him. I'm hearing responses on this radio station and people talking about it throughout the week. Very little support for Alex Cora. At least I didn't hear a lot of it. That could be anecdotal, but I didn't hear a lot of it.
I think people were pretty. They wish they still had him around. Let me put it that way.
What?
A lot of people wish they still had him around. John Henry wishes they still had him around.
I'm talking about the fans, Larry. And, you know, and this was...
I think the fans are kind of indifferent to it. I don't... One of the things I did not sense watching the press conference and listening to the radio all week, and I'm still surprised at it, I don't hear that much anger. I hear a lot of other things, but I would be pissed off. If I'm John Henry and Tom Werner and the like, I would be livid about this.
Well,
unless you knew about it.
You're talking about the anger should be coming from...
From somebody.
From Red Sox management. I think there was a lot of anger from the fans. I was surprised how much anger came from the fans. I thought maybe they'd circle the wagons, but because even though he won a World Series a couple of seasons ago, perhaps they're a little disillusioned with Alex Cora in his sophomore season as the manager. And I think that some of this discussion... was in contrast to how fans were pretty much supportive to Belichick and the Patriots in Spygate and certainly later on in Deflategate because the Patriots had won multiple Super Bowls by that point. Alex Cora hadn't quite established himself as, you know, the Bill Belichick of the Red Sox dugout at this point, so fans were able to jettison him fairly quickly. They were able to get up on their moral high horse and say, we cannot stand that. I'm wondering, however, if Cora, like Belichick, did have a few World Series championships, like Belichick had Super Bowl championships, would the fans have been that indifferent to his firing? I bet he would have had a lot more support. But I think that I give the fans credit. They were outraged. They were offended morally. I've been hearing it all week. I don't know where. I don't know if you
haven't heard enough of that. I wanted more. I really wanted even the press conference they had on there. I don't understand the disgust and anger and frustration over all of this. I just don't. I haven't heard enough of it.
Okay, where do you want the anger? Do you want John Henry to bang his fist on the podium while he's making the announcement that Alex Cora is no longer the manager of the Red Sox?
Well, whose team is it?
Okay, but you know John Henry is going to be, as always, a flatliner. The guy is not going to express a lot of anger and emotion in public. He probably doesn't do it in private either. I think the outrage should come from fans and media types and people who are justifiably upset that the Red Sox, one of the great seasons in the history of Major League Baseball. Remember, Larry, this was only, 15, 16 months ago. People were talking about this team in historic context.
Well, don't forget that year, a couple of years ago, that start they had was unbelievable.
Well, they're 16-2.
I mean, they were really off to a great start.
They won 108 games in the regular season, by far shattering the record. The record before that was like 105 back in 1912, the first year of Fenway Park and Smokey Joe Wood and all that stuff. They won 119 games with the 11 wins you need to win a World Series. 119 games. People were talking about this as one of the great seasons alongside maybe not 27 Yankees, but, you know, maybe 75, 76 Reds. Some of the dynasties of baseball, that one season was being compared to.
The other thing that you have to throw on the table with all this is the players. You can't tell me that at least half the team did not know about this.
Well, here's the problem. If Manfred was going to get the information, remember, the whistleblower was a player, Will Friers. Okay, is it Friers or Friars? I'm not sure which way to pronounce it. In order to get as much information about this elaborate and nefarious scheme, particularly that the Astros had set up, you're going to need players to give you information. So in order to get that information, the players were granted immunity. Some people think that might be an ill-advised approach. You think maybe the players should also be punished as well.
Well, of course, the problem is how many people can you start bouncing around?
Well, if you...
See, unlike the Belichick Spygate thing or whatever it was, it probably involved a handful of people. But with this thing, this can go all the way up the back door and down the front.
Yeah, that's a really good point. The players do not have to be involved in Spygate at all. Of course, they were not. A video crew was, and the coaching staff was. Okay? But the players were intimately involved in the Astros scheme. We probably can guess the same thing was going on with players very much instrumental in pulling off the Red Sox videotape scheme as well. But you're right. If he comes down hard on the players, say he comes down hard on
Mookie.
Well, it doesn't matter who the players are. I mean, you're wiping out an entire team. You can't do that. What are you going to do? You're going to fine them? You're going to suspend them? You can't do it. So he said in 2017, I'm talking about Rob Manfred, he said this 2 years ago, that when he did find out that there were rumors, and as he got further and further into this investigation of the Astros in particular, he knew that, and he announced it. He said, I'm not going to punish the players. The only way that we're going to get to the bottom of this and deal with this practically and effectively is to punish the manager and executives, general managers. So heads rolled in Astroland on Monday, heads rolled in Boston on Tuesday. Carlos Beltran, of course, who was a player on that in his last year, his final season, glorious career, borderline Hall of Famer. He is fired by the Mets on Thursday because of his involvement.
Yeah, we'd like to introduce the next manager of the New York Mets. Oh, excuse me?
Right.
I'm sorry. I have to take a commercial timeout.
But do you agree with all of those moves made by those three organizations?
It's that classic biblical verse, avoid the very appearance of evil. I don't know how you recover from this, really.
Now, who are you talking about? The players?
Both.
The managers?
Both.
The people that were fired? The organizations? Who?
The both. I think the management... you'd like to think they weren't involved with it, but it doesn't dismiss the fact that there were management people on the field, whatever. And how far does that go? The hitting coach, the pitching coach. How far does that go? I mean, they're very quick to circle the wagons and dismiss a few people and call it a day, but I don't know how much fans are going to buy that.
Well,
I don't.
We all know that fans have very short memories, and as outraged and as much as we're all on our moral high horses right now, we're all fans who are espousing integrity and honor and valor and all of that. And we cannot tolerate, we will not be a part of any team that engages in such illicit, nefarious activity. We all know that if the Red Sox hire a manager, maybe like a Buck Showalter, a guy that's going to clean it all up, you know, taskmaster, an old school manager would not put up with this kind of nonsense, and the Red Sox get off to a fine start, I think we're going to forgive the players who were involved. We'll forgive the organization and everybody else. And Alex Cora will be your proverbial scapegoat. He will be the guy.
It's about honor. It's about respect.
There it is.
Who is that, Veritech?
Yeah. And if Veritech, whoever comes in, people are going to embrace the manager because he's going to be this breath of fresh air. He's going to end
well,
all of
hurry
this
up.
Corruption. And yeah, by the way, I found this rather ironic. Pitchers and catchers for the Red Sox are reporting on February 12th. Why do I find that ironic, Larry Johnson? Whose birthday is on February 12th?
Who's that?
That would be the
Lincoln.
Yeah. What was his nickname?
Honest Abe.
Honest Abe. They're going to be celebrating Lincoln's birthday on February 12th. And listen. Here's the other thing, and you got into it a little bit. I would also be naive, and we'd all be naive, to believe that the Astros and the Red Sox are the only two teams in Major League Baseball who have such a system. Maybe it's not as elaborate or nefarious. I keep on using that word, nefarious.
In a nutshell.
Right. You're going to ask me to
was this
describe
like
it?
How they picked up the signals, and then by means of somebody banging on a drum, indicated to the hitter or the base runner what was the next pitch coming up.
As far as I can figure it out, to be as simplistic as possible, why stop now? You had a center field camera, which picked up the signs. It was relayed to the video room, where monitors were available for players and other members of the organization to decode. They would spend time decoding the signals, and they would communicate the decoding of the signals into the dugout. And the dugout, apparently for the Astros anyway, kind of primitive after all that technology, you'd think. they'd use a garbage can to alert the players. Now, and I think everybody understands by now, you're allowed to steal signs all you want, as long as you're doing it from the base paths.
Right.
As long as you're doing it with your eyes, without the aid of technology.
Yeah.
And a couple of people who I've talked to about it, who have kids who played in baseball at a pretty high level, tell me that when a player at that level, Major League Baseball, or even in college or minor league, if you know what's coming, that is such a huge advantage. And it's probably a bigger advantage to know what pitch is coming, fastball, changeup, breaking pitch, slider, whatever it is, than being on steroids.
Mm.
Because if you know what's coming, these guys are all great hitters. They're all, they can all hit a fastball 95 miles plus. They can hit a fastball 99 miles an hour. They can hit Chapman's fastball. Gee, who hit the game-winning home run in game six, a walk-off against the Yankees and Chapman, who throws about 100 miles an hour? That would be Altuve, game-winning home run in the bottom of the ninth inning to beat the Yankees. Probably knew what was coming.
He read an outside slider the entire way and took it deep to the porch.
Yep. And, of course, that was a home game. And you go back to Yankees and Astros back in 17. Astros were miserable on the road. They got swept in three games at Yankee Stadium. Much more productive.
They couldn't get the barrel on the plane?
Probably not. So, yeah, right. It's a very special garbage can. You can't use just any garbage can. It's got to be a very special one.
I tell you one thing, though. If I'm Kershaw, Darvish, or some of the other Dodger pitchers, I would be out of my mind.
I'd be throwing up my hands if I'm the Dodgers.
And then John Henry comes out and says, well, we definitely won the World Series that year.
What do you expect them to do?
Say nothing.
Well, okay, when the reporter asked that question, okay, and I am of the belief, my philosophy of media is there's no such thing as a stupid question because you're looking for a particular answer.
I'm famous for that.
Okay, right. Hey, Pedro, what's it like to be the pitcher on the Red Sox? What was that question you asked? No, you asked the second baseman, what was it like to play with
Pedro? To play behind him,
And you were like ripped from stem to stern for years for
that
question.
And I didn't care because I liked the answer he gave. He gave you a chance to how he speaks to his infielders and tells them where to play and how to position them. I thought that was fine.
All right, so if you're asking the question, hey, John Henry, Would you now want to turn over your 2018 championship now that Alex Cora has been fired and the taint of scandal is all around this franchise? What is he supposed to say? Yes. As a matter of fact, I've just contacted Rob Manfred, and he'd be very happy to take back that championship.
Now, that's one time I would have said, listen, we just have to wait and for the ruling of the commissioner. I have no answer for that. That's what I would have said.
Right. And they tried to straddle that line between giving an explanation.
Even when you're trying to get people on here, guests, people to talk and interview, you have to. It's very difficult to do because half the people are in the, in the pockets of these teams. They're either double dipping. They have second jobs with the team. They have situations that they're in. So you can't just get anybody on here if you can predict ahead of time what kind of answers they're going
to
give you.
Well, one person I would not want to talk to would be Jessica Mendoza, who does those Sunday night games on ESPN. Mm. She's also an employee
with
the Mets. And she was asked if Will Fiers was doing the right thing as the whistleblower, former Astros pitcher. And she said, no, I think we got to keep these in-house. She doesn't believe in telling tales out of school. What stays in Minute Maid Park, or what happens in Minute Maid Park stays in Minute Maid Park, basically. And they are compromised by their employment status. And you're absolutely right. Jesse Mendoza is a perfect example of that. So, I don't know where you put this, Larry, but... Oh, gotta love it. Soft Cell. Early 80s. I love it. Joe Cortez playing the hits.
Joe's on his game today.
Yeah, he really is. And so,
I tell you another thing.
Let me just stay with the tainted thing.
How
tainted do you think the 2018 World Series championship is for the Red Sox?
Oh, I think it's tainted. I think if you want to be a homer, you remember what we said. There's one audience that we get when we're in here and people call the show and stuff. That's one fandom that you get.
Which is a partisan fandom.
Right. But then there's another one that you get when you're over at Fenway Park and you got people yelling out, where's Veritek?
Oh, you're talking about, about the negativity.
I'm saying there's a double standard.
Well, I don't think it's a double standard.
Oh, I do.
I don't think it's a double standard.
What's the double standard? The double standard is... that you have one group who calls here and rips the team from pillar to post, and then you have another group over at Fenway Park, and the team can't do any wrong.
Right. But I would imagine that a good number of Red Sox season ticket holders, and I'd love to hear from you if you are at 617-779-0850, are you going to go into Fenway Park next year or this coming year, because we're only a couple months away from the beginning of April and the first pitch of the regular season. And as we said, February 12th, Honest Abe's birthday, pitchers and catchers reporting to Fort Myers. Do you look at this team in a different light, or by the time all of the dust settles, have you moved on, or are you starting to move on?
See, I think the only way you can answer that is who they hire for the next manager. If they go in-house and get somebody connected with the Red Sox directly and the like, I don't see how that's going to work at all.
So you need...
I want a clean sweep.
Someone who comes in here, the new sheriff in town. Bruce Bochy retired. Bochy? He just retired last year. Yeah. I don't know if he could be induced to come back in. Showalter.
There's one way they were all induced to come back in.
See, it's interesting. You know, the other name I'm hearing that's available.
Dusty Baker. Sheriff is near.
That's right. one of the great lines in Blazing
hasn't
Saddles.
Hasn't Yawkey been punished enough?
Really? So you have Dusty Baker, who's age 70. Buck Showalter is, I believe, 64, 65.
I like Girardi. I don't know why nobody ever mentions him.
Well, Girardi went to the Phillies, so he's unavailable. But the old school guy is suddenly back in vogue just when all these owners and general managers were in love with neophytes like an Aaron Boone, whose experience in management and coaching was Zippo before he became the manager of the Yankees. That may be changing a little bit, especially if you're trying to convey to the fan that this game is on the up and up. This is a game where integrity and honesty matters. That's going to be a tough sell. We thought we survived the steroid era, and now I think this is worse. See, I put this ahead of the steroid era as worse, because I do think...
Well, I do, too, because I think the steroid situation is you can't prove that one way or the other. You can do testing and stuff, but it's an individual.
It was individual.
Exactly.
No, again, we're not being so naive as to believe that many individuals in many organizations used. And this is why I laugh when I hear CC Sabathia. I was watching Inside the NFL on Showtime a couple days ago, and he was, for whatever reason, CC Sabathia was on a football show.
I was just going to say, that's kind of strange.
But I thought it was timely with the scandal and everything. And now he's demanding that because the Yankees lost in seven games in 2017, as the Astros were on their way to that championship by beating the Dodgers in seven games as well, not only are the Dodgers an aggrieved party, so are the Yankees. And I said, CeCe, I'm talking to the television. CeCe, do you not remember your first year, 2009? You had a player named Alex Rodriguez on your team who had a great year, who had many key postseason home runs and home runs throughout the year. He's already admitted he was on steroids.
Yeah.
I mean, all of the Yankee championships, you have to look twice at. The Red Sox with Manny, 2004, 2007. I mean, all of this has a whiff of dishonesty and cheating about it. But this one, to me, goes further because that was individual. Yeah, pockets of players were involved. But when a whole team orchestrates this, and a manager...
Do you think the pitchers, let's say the Red Sox, do you think a lot of the pitchers were aware of what was going on?
How could they not be? Were they that oblivious? Are they that intensely concerned only with, you know, they're out in the bullpen, they're not paying attention to it. The starters are only worried about their start once every 5 days. How could you be that oblivious and blind to what was happening? Of course they knew. Now, obviously, the pitcher's not benefiting from it.
Right.
And it'd be hard to believe that a pitcher would get punished because there's no advantage for him. Yet, again, why wouldn't it? Maybe a pitcher would be able to decode signs better.
Well, I mean, it's like the shake, shake, old style of pitching where catchers would call, you know, you throw a fastball for a strike,
right,
and the next pitch you go shake, shake, curveball. And if they pick on it that easily, then you understand something's wrong.
No, but Joe, you're a baseball coach and a baseball player. You're experienced in the game. But a pitcher could actually aid a teammate, an offensive player, in decoding the signs, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely, yeah. Because there's a lot of similarities. And,
right.
You know, going back quick to what you said about the mental, physical side of it with steroids, the reason why this is so much worse is because 90% of the game is mental, Yogi Berra. Obviously, but you look
at 90% of the game is half mental.
Yeah, it's half mental.
Got to quote him correctly.
I got to get it correctly. Well, I'm not a fan of Yogi, but anyways, where I was going with this was basically you can put some of the greatest athletes in the world on a baseball diamond, and they will struggle to hit a 90-100 mile per hour fastball. Mentally, if you know what's coming, it's completely different. So you can put all the steroids in the world to one person, put them on a baseball field, and most likely he won't succeed.
Well, that was my defense of the initial steroid scandal, 15 years ago or so. You still have to be able to make contact with a ball. Yet we're talking about the greatest players were using steroids to make themselves even better than they already were. With sign stealing, you can take a mediocre hitter who struggles with a breaking pitch or is not able to figure out, is just not a student of the game like others are, and doesn't know, is completely guessing at all times. When you take the guesswork out of it, at that level, with their bat speed and their hand speed,
it's like batting practice.
It's batting practice.
Exactly.
Yep. That's exactly. Yep.
You know, the other aspect of this that I'm quite concerned about, I don't gamble, just never have, never, just not interested in that. But I do respect the people who choose to do that. How do you justify watching a game?
Right.
When one team has a distinct advantage over another team by stealing signs and the like, how do you factor all that into a game that you're betting on?
And, you know, let's face it, major league sports, MLB, NFL, NBA, even NHL, they're cozying up with gambling more and more. Gambling is becoming legalized. And you would think if that continues, where money is on the line, it's not simply the integrity of the game, so to speak, where the outcome is actually played out without cheating. It's also, there's that money aspect. If the public believes that these games are not on the up and up, how can they put their money? I mean, it's a big
if you think baseball is having problems now, attracting people and bringing in people,
right
now, how can you go down there and lay a couple of hundred on a game,
right,
and you don't know what teams are pulling off?
Right. It's one thing to be a fan, and like me, you and I are both certainly not gamblers on any level. It's one thing to believe when you're watching a game that it's decided fairly and honestly.
That's all the game has.
That's all the game has. And that's why baseball came down like a sledgehammer on Joe Jackson and the rest of the Chicago Black Sox.
Pete Rose.
In the 1919 World Series. They came down on Pete Rose because that is the essence of any sport. A game is competitive. It's not scripted. It's not the WWE. But you add the gambling dimension to that?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, it really gets scary.
I mean, can you imagine if something like this happened in the National Football League, where a lot of their interest and popularity is based on the gambling perspective, and if they came up with some controversy where some teams were cheating and found ways to cheat with the quarterbacks and the like, what would happen to that?
Well, you think about it, in college basketball, you had the scandal at CCNY in 1950, but those were college kids looking to make money in the BC point-shaving scandal in the late 70s. But they were college kids. These players are not doing it for money. Unlike the Black Sox, who were poorly underpaid by Charles Comiskey, the owner, and they felt that they were due a much heftier paycheck than they were getting back 100 years ago, and they had a financial incentive. There's no financial incentive for the Astros or the Red Sox or any other team engaging in this activity, it's that competitive zeal. They'll do anything to win. They'll shoot themselves up with all kinds of steroids to give them the edge. They'll use a videotape system. They'll do anything to get the edge. These are not moralists. They're not Mother Teresa's in waiting. They're baseball players, they're football players, they're professional athletes, and their job is simply to be as good as they can with whatever means is necessary for them to do it.
I think this is worse than steroids. I really do.
I agree, too.
I do.
Yep. All right, 617-779-0850. Do you agree with Larry? Is this worse than steroids? This is worse than Clemens and Bonds and all the other guys that we know were on the juice for so many years to give them a competitive edge. 617-779-0850 is the telephone number. Mustard and Johnson till high noon right here on 850 AM WEEI.
NFL Sunday, tomorrow morning from 9 to 1 on WEEI 93.7 FM. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, Celtics back on the court tonight against the Suns at 7 o'clock, looking to snap a two-game skid. That's quite a great comeback against the Bucks on Thursday night. What, they're down 27 or something like that? Came back, got within four, still fell to Giannis and company. Bruins are off till tomorrow when they face the Penguins in Pittsburgh. And they also waive 14-year vet David Backes. Backes played in 16 games this season, scored only 3 points for the Bees. NFL Conference Championships set for tomorrow in the AFC. Derrick Henry and the Titans going at Arrowhead to take on Patty Mahomes and the Chiefs. On the NFC side, Aaron Rodgers and the Pack against Jimmy G and the 49ers in Santa Clara. Coverage starts at 3 o'clock on 93.7 FM. WEEI and other NFL news. The Giants have agreed with recently deposed Cowboys head coach Jason Garrett to be their next offensive coordinator, and NBC Sports Pro Football Talk, thank you, got that correct, has reported that a new labor agreement between the NFL and NFL Players Association is on the horizon, and that's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Join the conversation now. Call 617-779-0850. Now back to Mustard and Johnson on WEEI, ESPN 850 AM.
According to a source, I like saying that too, I talked to today. Sox owner John Henry.
You talked to a lot of people today.
He skipped his nap.
Holy cow.
John Henry had every intention to keep Alex Cora as the Red Sox manager, despite Cora's impending suspension from Major League Baseball. When the possibility arose that the Red Sox could be stripped of their 2018 World Series title, the owner threw him out of the boat. The owner gave up his manager. Sacrificial lamb. The word is both the Red Sox and the Astros are nervous they could lose their championships. A lot of anxiety at Fenway Park, I was told.
Oh, that water's dirtier than ever after the release of the commissioner's report earlier in the week. The firings in Houston, in Boston, and even in New York with Carlos Beltran, of course, a member of that 2017 Astros team. Now, this is where I think Gary Tangway, our old buddy, used to work WEEI back in the early days, and of course is a mainstay over at NBC Sports Boston all these years. This is where I think Tangway did not get it right. Do you really believe that Manfred is going to vacate any title won by the Astros, Red Sox, or anybody else?
Well, it's hard to do that. First of all, you're punishing the whole team, and not everybody is guilty. And number two, where do you start and where do you stop?
Right. And the other thing's a little disturbing, and he has gotten, I think, justifiable criticism for it, is that Manfred seems to be stopping with the Red Sox and Astros, that he doesn't intend to investigate the rest of Major League Baseball. And aren't we being just a little naive to believe that these are the only two isolated incidents throughout baseball that no other team would ever think to stoop to this insidious level?
I think this thing is so big that he's just trying to get it off the stage. I think he wants to do as little as possible to deal with this thing publicly.
All right, so he gives the appearance that I'm coming down swift, hard, and ruthlessly on the Astros and perhaps the Red Sox. I suspended a general manager and a manager in Houston, and they were promptly fired with Cora in Boston. Same thing basically happened before anything happened as far as from a commissioner's standpoint with the Mets. So three managers were given the heave-ho this past week. Do you think that's going to be enough to quell what might be, I think, a general outrage throughout the country about baseball? Do fans think that the Astros, do you think fans are going to be going into ballparks and watching their favorite teams thinking that their team had no involvement at all in anything underhanded or illicit as far as stealing signs are concerned?
They should start selling little trash cans at the concession stands.
I would imagine
start banging
that
on.
I can see, you know, maybe when the Astros come to town, particularly if you come to the to Chavez Ravine Dodger Stadium, you go to Yankee Stadium.
And they have the tomahawk chop.
There might be a few garbage cans in the stands. You know, some mini garbage cans. That's a good one. You know what? I can see a sports cartoonist out there, maybe with his pen and paper sketching out some sort of a
fastball, curveball.
You got one? A good cartoon in
not
your head?
Not yet.
Yeah.
You
should
think
work
about
on
it.
That.
This is the first team who ends up bringing in, you know, the metal trash cans to, like, you know how the Gators have the chop in college football. Who's the first team to bring that in?
That's true. And maybe they can have trash can night when the Astros come to Yankee Stadium or Dodger Stadium.
You know, we laugh about it, but I really don't think it's funny at all.
No, it isn't funny, and I think
it's the last bastion of hope. That's why I was so against the steroid use, is when you take away the integrity of the game, Craig.
Right. You have nothing left.
You got nothing left.
Absolutely. John in Blackstone is our leadoff hitter on Sports Radio 850 with Mustard and Johnson.
Good morning, John.
Fellas, how you doing this morning?
How are you?
I've never been a leadoff hitter before. I just don't have that kind of speed.
John, fastball.
Where do you get the trash can?
Fastball, John.
Hey, Larry, you said pitchers don't benefit by that, but you know what? If a pitcher's having a bad day and gives up four or five and a couple innings and he's hanging around, you know, and his team knows what's coming from the other team and they score seven or eight, you know what? All of a sudden he gets a cheap win out of that. So I think they do benefit in the long run, too, with that.
Not true. Okay, because you're getting run support. Never thought of it that way. Yep.
Yeah, you could be getting a lot more run support. And, you know, you said you weren't sure of pitchers. No, but that's who blew the whistle was Mike Fiers,
right,
who's a pitcher. So, of course they know. Everybody up and down the lineup knew, and everybody knew. So it's it is despicable, in my opinion. It really is.
Why wouldn't you be? Especially if you're a player, like, why wouldn't you be a whistleblower?
Well, because
if you're a pitcher,
there's a code of silence.
By who?
Larry, you know that in any profession, there's always a code of silence. It takes a lot of guts to be a whistleblower in any capacity.
Is that why you retired from teaching?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I believe Fiers even mentioned, look, these young kids are coming up and they're trying to make it into the big leagues. and they come in and get a start in Houston and get waxed a couple times and get sent down and never get brought up again because they were getting cheated because these guys knew what was coming, that's not fair either. And if you look at the Yankees, and I said this to your producer before, I think they've got the biggest gripe of all the teams because that season, you mentioned it, Craig, earlier, 2017, they won all their games at Yankee Stadium, correct?
Right. And you look at the splits, home and away, in 17 for the Astros in that seven-game series of the Yankees. They're hitting so much lower in Yankee Stadium than they were in the Astrodome. Now, because I don't think the Yankees should be griping about, oh, they took it away from us. The Yankees didn't exactly erupt when they were playing in Minute Maid either. I mean, it wasn't like...
I understand that, Craig, and I don't think they are, but I'm just saying, if anybody does, I mean, the Dodgers have been shooting their mouths off, and I don't believe they've got that much of a gripe, and because, like I said, the Yankees did play well at home and then lost four straight, or they lost all their four games in Houston. The other thing, too, if they win that series, maybe Joe Girardi still has his job.
Could be, but he, you know, hey, listen, he rebounded nicely. He got up off the canvas, and he's fine.
I understand, but if he's the Yankee manager for the next two or three years, I mean, it is a big difference to him. So it does affect everybody,
but,
and not just the people who are who are involved in
but
it.
But to be fair, you could say that Joe Girardi's one championship as a manager, you could say, was tainted, because Alex Rodriguez was a very instrumental part of that 2009 season. He was huge that year.
You said it. I mean, all the Red Sox ones can be, too, because you don't think – I mean, the Mitchell report was based out of New York. If that report was based out of some trainers in Boston, you don't think there'd be a lot more Red Sox names on that report?
Only the Mets and the Yankees were involved. That was it. Come on, John.
Yeah. Unbelievable. isn't that unbelievable? Hey, by the way, one last thing before you guys let me go. I don't know if you heard about Black Jack McDowell yesterday coming out and saying La Russa had this kind of scheme going in the late 80s, I believe, when he was with the White Sox. So that's, what are we looking, 30 years ago now?
Yeah, and John, if you had to pick one person, one manager, who most likely instituted that system, it would be a guy who was a pioneer in the game like La Russa. Think about the way a bullpen is managed. La Russa invented that in the late 80s.
So where does it stop, though? That's the problem. We go back to La Russa and his foolishness. Where does it stop? Thanks, John.
Yeah. And I think what Manfred desperately wants to do is put a big stop sign after the investigation of the Red Sox.
Exactly. He wants this off the table as fast as possible.
Right, because he needs to sell the game, as you keep on saying very eloquently, much more than I have today. You have to believe, if you're a fan, that the game is being played with honesty and integrity, and the outcome is fair. And if there's any whiff of scandal or manipulation or deceit, then you have absolutely nothing. And you know, there, I think fans, including the ones in Houston and Boston, are going to be able to move beyond it, but it's going to take a while, and the Red Sox right now are going to have a very difficult time.
They would have a difficult time anyway.
Right. They were, because the Chaim Bloom era has begun.
Betts and Price.
There was a lot of frustration. This is why I think, and I was trying to say this, kind of struggled to put it together about a half hour ago. I think that Red Sox fans are fed up with the team anyway, based on what happened last year. They were 19 games behind the Yankees. They were really out of it for most of the year. They performed very poorly and not up to expectation on any level.
But what do you think most of spring training is going to be taken up with?
It's going to be all this taping system with the sign stealing.
Exactly.
Course. Right. And I don't know how long. I mean, I think they're going to have to play some games and start winning, and doing it with a manager that conveys just like wears his honesty and his integrity on his sleeve. And it may be a guy like Showalter. You might have to have a guy, no-nonsense, taskmaster, Martinet type, who will not allow the players to even think about.
Where's Billy Martin when we need him?
Well, you may not have to go that old school. He's not available last time I checked. Let's get back to the phone, 617-779-0850. It is Andy in Framingham, who's next.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, one of the things you both had mentioned about going after the obviously the main culprits being Houston in this regard and the Red Sox, which I do believe, Larry, this does tarnish their success. I mean, and I'm angry about it, but I'm not giving it back, to be truthful with you. But one of the things they're going after these particular teams, although the Cincinnati Reds are doing it, it has real no effect. So there's a pecking order to this, and if you go after the big clubs, meaning Houston, who had the success, and even Boston, and you are, by trickle-down effect, sending the message to the rest of the league and hoping that stops it, nips it in the bud.
Well, the other thing is cheating tends to benefit the more talented teams, don't you
Correct.
Think?
Correct. If you have the talent and you add it, all these guys are looking for an edge. You know
right.
that. I mean,
right.
when you go back to 1951 with Leo DeRocher and the Giants.
Good point.
They yeah. obviously, they're the forerunners of this, so to speak. So, I mean, we know people are going to do this. They want that edge, just ask Al Davis, if you will. So I know it's happening. I'm angry about it. Come down hard when it does happen.
You don't sound that angry, Andy, to me.
I'm too tired.
What are you tired
of?
Do you have scandal
for all-night dating service?
No, no.
I think Andy has, you have scandal fatigue. That's what you have.
Scandal fatigue is
right.
exactly
yep.
it. It
yep.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, you mentioned, Larry, you were a proponent of cleaning house. So am I. The guy I like to see who will settle this all down, in my opinion, would be Dusty Baker. I love to have Dusty Baker. Dusty Baker would help. I tell you, they would hit a lot better than what they had currently showed last year. He has a pedigree. He goes back to Aaron and some of the greatest players in the game.
Right.
We'd have to give him a pitching coach because I don't know how Dusty handles pitches that well. But I could tell you he might be a real elixir for Benintendi and maybe Betts too.
And I tell you another thing, too. Who'd ever be banging on that trash can would be in rhythm.
Oh, that was the black guy that said that.
Can I throw a football thing real quick in?
Sure. Andy, you're too calm to me. I'm disappointed with you. I thought I'd hear some furniture
I think Danny's right behind me. He'll have the past perfect antidote.
Before you make your point, let me just ask you this, though. I don't know whether you gamble or not, but do you agree with me that this does have a serious effect on gambling? How much money are you going to lay down, and you don't even know whether the games are legit or not?
Well, you're going to be skeptical, right? No doubt about it. You would have to be skeptical if you're a gambler anyway, would you not? I mean, I do gamble from time to time, but, I mean, I pick my spots. Certainly, I like to bet on the Super Bowl, which leads me to my next thing. I think it's going to be Green Bay and Kansas City. I think the quarterbacks are going to be the difference here.
Wow. You think Green Bay can go back into 49er country after
getting
spanked?
Well, I'm betting on Aaron Rodgers opposed to Garoppolo. Garoppolo is closer to being Tony Romo opposed to Joe Montana. And Rodgers is special, and I think Mahomes is quite special in AFC.
Hey, last question. Did you send your date home yet?
Yes.
Well, you said you're tired.
I called Uber.
All right, Andy.
All right, buddy.
He's got scandal fatigue. Let's see if John in the car also has some scandal fatigue. He's next on Sports Radio WEEA. Hello, John.
Hello, is that me?
That's you.
That's you. You're the man.
I'm John from Mattapan.
It says John in the car. Are you in the car, John?
Oh, no, I'm John in Mattapan, but that's all right.
The illustrious,
how
the illustrious John in Mattapan. What's going on?
Oh, I didn't know I was illustrious, but I'll take it. But anyway, guys, you know, this is how I feel today, right? I see my friends, people I see that I don't know, they're tired of seeing the president trying to cheat us out of a fair election. They're tired of, you know, the Red Sox cheating, the Patriots cheating. They're tired of corporations cheating us out of money that we could use to pay for a nice, reasonable ride to work, you know, on a bus or a train or something. People are getting tired of it. And you talk about fatigue, Craig. I see it everywhere.
I happen to agree with you. Seriously.
No, I agree. And I forgot about the political dimension of all this. How
I
could we forget?
You did, Craig, honestly.
Right. We try to keep politics out of this show. This is a sports program.
Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
But how do you?
So I don't know. Guys.
So, but how did you like the press conference the other day,
Larry? I've been working so hard, I missed it.
Wow.
Well, that's probably a good idea for someone who is sick and tired of all this cheating, John. I appreciate the call. We'll go to John in Malden, who's next on Sports Radio WEEI. Hey, John.
Hey, guys.
John is outraged as a Yankee fan. He can't believe the Red Sox have engaged in this kind of illicit activity.
Take your shirt off before you come on this show.
Right.
I am not outraged. In fact, I'm not surprised at all. I think all the top teams are doing it. Do I think the Baltimore Orioles or the San Diego Padres are doing it? No. But the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, the Astros. Why does Alex Rodriguez or Barry Bonds need to put drugs in their body if they're that good? Just to get that little extra edge. It's what it's all about. And if you're one of the top teams, you need to get the extra edge. I'm sure the Yankees are doing it just as much as these other teams are doing it.
Listen,
when they were all on steroids,
of course,
everybody was
whatever
on steroids.
It takes to get that edge. They are competitors par excellence. They're not interested in humanitarian awards. They want to win.
This is not sports. This is big million-dollar, billion-dollar business.
Right, but that doesn't excuse it, John.
Money.
John, it does not excuse it.
I agree totally. And they got caught.
Right.
And so somebody usually gets caught, and when you get caught, you know, the hammer falls on you.
So
it's like when you're speeding down the highway and the cop pulls you over, and you go, why didn't you pull the other 12 cars over? They were going 102, and he says, because I had to pick somebody, and you're the one I got.
But you know what, John? I'm surprised. I don't know. As a Yankee fan, you probably listen to Red Sox fans all the time, but I don't see a lot of people defending or hearing a lot of people defending Cora or any of the Red Sox players for this scandal at all. They are quite willing to throw everybody under the bus, which is surprising to me.
I agree with you. There's nobody... there's nobody making excuses.
Right.
I think that they see how obvious it is, and I think if you make excuses, you're just going to look like a homer. So people are just they see what's going on. And do I think it was a little over the top? Yeah.
What, the punishment?
$5 million.
Are you kidding me?
$5 million.
Oh, I thought it was appropriate. I mean, come on. $5 million. Okay, that's a drop in the bucket for the owner. That's not a big deal. You know, draft picks, first and second draft picks the next couple of years, that is severe.
Yep.
I will agree.
Yep.
But if you're trying to send a message, remember the Black Sox who were cheating and on the take. All of those players were banned for life. And, of course, we know that Shoeless Joe, one of the great players in the history of the game, could not get induction into the Hall of Fame because of it. Pete Rose is never going to be in the Hall of Fame because of his gambling. Yep. John, I know you like to gamble, but you got to send a stern message.
Well, John, how do you look at these games as one person who likes to drop a dime now and then on a particular bet?
You just have to realize that there's stuff going on, and I mean, unless it's involved with the referees,
right?
You know, unless it's Tim Donaghy or whatever his name was throwing games, you got to expect. I mean, listen, there's pitchers with nail files in their pockets. There's batters with cork in their bats. They're putting drugs in their bodies. They're stealing signs. They're doing this and that. They're putting amphetamines. They're taking drugs. There's all kinds of cheating going on in baseball.
So the heck with it, Dan.
John, you're very philosophical.
Just don't have any rules then. The heck with it.
See, and I understand. I understand what you're saying, John. I can be philosophical as well, but I think that sign stealing is worse than all those other things.
And listen, as a Yankee fan, I got more to bitch about than the average person.
Well, why
don't
you?
2 years ago, we got beat by the Astros. 2 years ago, the Red Sox.
That's right. 2 years in a row.
Astros.
Yeah, 2 years in a row.
3 years in a row.
That's right.
Two by the cheaters.
Astros,
one by the Red Sox.
And, of course, the Yankees would never even think about getting involved in something like that.
No, they're pure as a driven snow. They're not doing anything.
Well, I'm glad you clarified that for us, John.
When I saw Lance, the guy was on 60 Minutes turning in Lance Armstrong, you know, and Lance Armstrong did this, that, and the other thing. And then the guy said, but let me make one thing clear. He said, we were all doing it. I was doing it. Every rider on the course was doing it. And the reason you had to do it was to even the playing field. Because if you didn't even the playing field, you didn't have a chance. So one team does it, the other team does it, it evens out. But anyways, I want to talk a little football for a minute
if
I can. I'm psyched about these games tomorrow. I disagree with Andy from Framingham. I don't think the Packers are going to get through this 49ers defense. They didn't do it earlier this year, and I don't see them doing it this time around either.
Well, you know, it does happen. Remember the Jets annihilated in Foxborough in the regular season 10 years ago, and then came in the division round and beat the Patriots. It can happen.
Well, how about the Patriots beat the Miami Dolphins this year 43-0, and then I think they played them later
on.
Did
they play them twice this year?
Did.
What happened?
Unfortunately.
I forgot, because I'm so immersed in this baseball scandal. Remind me what happened in that last game?
Yep. I think there was a pick six. Bring it up with Danny from Quincy. I think he knows about a pick six in this game. And Danny, you call me a fraud Patriots fan. I'm not the one that quit during the greatest Super Bowl comeback in history, quit on my team, changed the channel, and put Star Trek on. That was you.
I hope it was the old Star Trek.
You know what it is, Craig? Red Sox fans, it's ingrained in their DNA. They just expect doom and gloom all the time. They're programmed to think lose.
I think that, John, that's a really good point. In spite of being the most successful team of the 21st century, they've won four World Series, and yet there's still that pall that kind of hangs over the team. You're absolutely right. Very interesting point. Speaking of a guy that knows a little about the Red Sox and championships and years before that when championships were very hard to come by, we're going to talk to Steve Buckley currently of The Athletic, that very fine web sports page. You know him, of course, from WEEI and the Boston Herald for so many years. He's going to check in. We'll talk about the baseball scandal and other matters in the 11 o'clock hour. Our good friend Karen Garigian will break down some of the things that are happening in NFL as far as the championship games are concerned.
Danny wants to know if you can get any more interviews on.
He wants more?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be working on that in the next 4 or 5 minutes during the break.
Right.
I think two is okay, but if you'd like to double it, maybe go to four. All right, that sounds great. 617-779-7. No, it's not. What's the number again, Larry?
617-779-0850.
It's Mustard and Johnson, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.